God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 21, verses 28 to 30. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, he offered sacrifices there. At that time, the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of burnt offering, were on the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. What had happened to worship by David's time? First, there was the ancient worship of the patriarchs. Already in the days of Adam and Eve and their children, there was public worship in the world. By the time Seth had his son, Adam was a mere 235 years old at the time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's Genesis 4:26. This was carried along by the ancient patriarchs, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and of course Noah. Noah built an altar right away after the flood abated and sacrificed burnt offerings on it, according to Genesis 8:20. Second, the tabernacle worship given to Moses. About 400 years before David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, God commanded Moses to build that ark and commanded Aaron as to how to use it and when. This began the worship at the tabernacle. Three, the lost ark. After a little over 300 years later had gone by, or a little more than 300 years later, I think, Eli's sons carried the ark foolishly into battle without the Lord's command and lost it. And during the long decade of its return, it remained separated from the tabernacle. Never once in David's lifetime was the tabernacle of the Lord ever brought together with the ark in the most holy place. Fourth, David's concern and plan to bring the ark to a place of safety. When the ark was recovered, David struggled with getting it to safety. It had been in Philistine hands for about 7 months, according to 1 Samuel 6, and it was returned by ox cart. It arrived at Kiriath Jearim and remained there for 20 years. And during that time, King Saul died, and David became king of Israel. And after he captured Jerusalem, he tried to bring the ark into the city. Another delay of 3 months on account of mishandling the ark led to David's extreme care with the golden chest. Finally, it was brought safely into the city and put into a new tent, not the tabernacle of Moses, somewhere near David's own house. The tabernacle of Moses, along with the altar of burnt offering, remained at Gibeon. Fifth, default worship of David. David's sacrifice on Moriah's summit was more like one of Abraham or Isaac's offerings than anything to do with the holy tabernacle of the Lord. The king obviously wanted to bring the ark and its tent back together, but in a more permanent way. Yet he did not complete the old tent. He did not go up to the tabernacle at Gibeon, even now, but this was because the Lord commanded him to build an altar on the threshing floor of Araunah. Yet why does the text also tell us that David could not go before it, the altar at Gibeon, to inquire of God because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord? Well, did he fear that doing so would bring his vision of a stone temple to an end? If people had the whole tabernacle of Moses, was he afraid that they would question why they might need a second temple of David? No, these points are just speculation. He was afraid of God's vengeful sword, and that is more than enough to explain what happened here. The Lord had commanded him to build an altar where the angel stopped and put his sword back in its sheath, and David was afraid to go anywhere else to worship. He could not go back to Gibeon, even if the altar and the tent were there. David was commanded to build an altar at the threshing floor of Araunah, and that is just what he did. For the rest of David's reign, this remained the situation. He was not permitted to build a temple for God, but he drew up all its plans, gathered its materials, and raised its funds. One final point should be made here. Araunah was not a Jew, at least not by birth. He was a Gentile, a foreigner. Therefore, the statement is perfectly true that Adersheim makes, most significantly in its typical aspect, were Jew and Gentile here brought together to cooperate in the dedication of the temple site. How frequently David wrote psalms for worship, and how frequently they depict worship on Mount Zion, but how seldom with reference to any building. Sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Psalm 9. Oh, that salvation would for Israel, that salvation for Israel would come out from Zion. Psalm 14. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Psalm 20, verse 2. And it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. Psalm 133. To return to the article cited yesterday about worship, Professor Tiefel says, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. That's Psalm 26:8. But what do I say and what do I do when I get there? This is the question that faces every lay person, every called minister, every congregation, and every denomination, Sunday by Sunday. The question cannot be answered, however, by referring to biblical or confessional rules and regulations. We respect the past and are edified by it, but we are not enslaved by it. We gather to proclaim and gain the gospel. That's Professor James Tiefel in the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly. As Paul taught, we preach Christ crucified, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.